Hey everyone, welcome to the Microcast and Microcosm Community Call. This call is recorded live on Friday, September 9th. This week's call is all about group runs. Group runs help athletes connect with their local communities. They give athletes the opportunity to build relationships with other runners and find commonality in the training process. And ultimately, this contributes on deep and important levels with perpetuating the stoke for running and training year after year. If you have the opportunity to run with a group, do it. This call also highlights some of the pitfalls we see in athletes who over-index on group runs. Like any good training program, having a purpose to everything you do is key to making group runs work for you over the long haul. Continue to advocate for your specific training and adhere to the architecture of your plan, even when out with friends. If you can, talk with your coach about how to best fit group runs into your weekly training so you can benefit from running with other athletes while still getting the most out of your individualized training. Balance is key. I hope you enjoy this episode, and as usual, if you have any feedback, a question for a future call, or are looking for support in your running journey, please visit us on the web at microcosm-coaching.com or contact us at microcosmcoaching@gmail.com. All right, well, today we are chatting about group runs. We have so many athletes who love to do group runs, and I think this is something that we really want to dig into. We've talked about it in the past, but we haven't done an entire call on it. But this was kind of prompted by a question that we got. I'm a slow runner, a back of the pack runner. All of my running friends are faster than me, so that when we have social runs, I usually end up starting with everybody, but finishing solo. It seems like as I get faster, so does my group, so the gap in pace persists. Running is a very social thing for me, but I'm having trouble staying motivated when it just seems like I can't get fast enough to hang on. I'm looking for advice on how to manage this scenario and how to stay motivated. So just keep that in mind. We'll come back to that, I think, a little bit later on. I kind of wanted to start this conversation off with, you know, why group runs can be really important. We actually went to a group run in our community last night, which is maybe why we look so sleepy today.
We were up past 8, so.
Yeah, we were up till 10, which is, that's late. That's extremely late for me. You know, I'll just start this off by saying, I think if you can foster a sense of community within your training, and that's something that we're trying to do, you know, with Microcosm, but because we're so online based, we're almost a little bit limited in what we can fully do to create that sense of community. And when you have those interactions in real life, it takes things to the next level. And I think what research has kind of proven and what we've read in various different books is that when you're pursuing things that are difficult, being around people who are also pursuing similar things, they might not be the exact same goals, but they're involved in the same things as you, it helps to, yeah, create a little bit of a sense of belonging, a sense of community. And through that, you know, you can really begin to perpetuate a long-term process of training. We've talked about this, Zoe and I have talked about this a ton amongst ourselves, but our coaches have talked about this. And I think all of you guys know, when you're training for like a marathon, long races, whatever it is, just by the nature of being a human in our challenging schedules, we tend to run alone a lot of the time. And that can, I think, be, yeah, difficult over the long haul. It can just get tough, especially for athletes who are just more social, like the athlete who asked the question earlier. We all have
We're all social beings, right? Like we're not just all introverted or all extroverted. We're really a mixture of all of those things. And so, you know, I think like one of the most important things for athletes to consider when they're thinking about the importance of group runs is meeting people, meeting new people, getting to hang out with people who are kind of on a similar wavelength as you. Like there's nothing quite like meeting other runners. You have that instant commonality and that sense of community that really begins to foster, and how that helps perpetuate the process. Knowing you're not alone in the training grind sometimes can be really helpful. I wonder if any of the other coaches kind of have, I don't know, contributing perspective on some of the importance on group runs.
I know when I lived in Fayetteville, Drew and I met up to run every day for like 3+ years, like every single day, more or less the same time, more or less the same place. And that was really helpful for me. And when I moved to Boulder and I didn't have that same community, it was kind of a struggle to motivate myself. Because I mean, like Drew was an amazing accountability mechanism. And it was definitely a tough transition. So I really feel like I've seen both sides of this. Like I've seen, you know, the ways in which like having that community can be really critical and such a strong motivating factor. And like so many of the athletes, like even just on the call, came from kind of that same Fayetteville, Northwest Arkansas running community, because it is really tight knit. And it is super, when I say tight knit, it's not exclusive. It's just really supportive. And you never really have to run. You almost never have to run alone if you live in that area, because there's so many folks willing to run. But I think what made that work is that we just communicated with each other, like what we needed. We had a group text going. We would say how far we wanted to run. We would say how we were feeling, how fast we wanted to go. And I think that really helped set a precedent for everyone being able to get what they needed out of the run.
Let's not jump too far ahead. Let's stick more on that importance. Yeah. Cause I'm just curious, like, what are the benefits that you got out of that? I'm hearing
accountability.
I'm hearing motivation.
Yeah. Well, too. Drew used to be my boss. So there's nothing quite like the fear of letting down your boss to make you get out the door early in the morning.
Too, like a big deal on the importance of, I guess, group runs for me has always been, like you said, TJ, a lot of people find themselves running solo, especially since the pandemic began. And so having like a group run with Zoe, where I used to do like literally it was like 6 days a week. And now like it's maybe one day a week. But even that one day a week meeting with a group, it really helps me like break up the monotony of running by myself, like, you know, like literally every single day. Maybe meeting a group in a new place, so you're seeing a new trail, or just using it as an opportunity to not, I guess we'll say, decrease the chance of burnout, really, is what I use group runs now. That seems to be really helpful, I guess. I assume that's the same for other people too.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think when we're talking about perpetuating the process and staying engaged in your training for years and years, I think sometimes the longer you're doing something, the more you recognize where some of those shortcomings are and where you tend to, I don't know, fray a little bit at the periphery. And for a lot of people, it's the constant solo running. This is something that I'll steer it to Zoe, something that Zoe has mentioned to me multiple times. And I don't think it's quite enough to burn her out because she's super motivated intrinsically. But I have noticed that sometimes she, you know, has a yearning to be social, and she's actually been going to our group runs much more often than me. I'm about a once a year kind of group run person. And Zoe, I know maybe this was like the third time you've gone this season or more.
I like running, like, especially like when I'm in Chamonix, like when we were in Chamonix, I was trying to do like every run with friends. Like I also love running alone. Like I love both. I love them both equally. I think they just have they meet different needs for me. And both of those needs need to be met. And it's really great that running can be a vehicle for both facilitating alone time and for facilitating connection. But like for me, I will only run with people insofar that it also supports my long-term goals. Like if someone wants to do something that doesn't serve me, I'm not going to bend to that. Like I'm not super flexible about my training, and that like if someone wanted to do like a 25 mile run when I have 16 miles on the calendar, I'm usually just going to sit that out because I'm pretty focused on my training. But I think some people can be a bit more flexible. And there are times when I've been a bit more flexible, but like, frankly, training for races at the level that I want to train for them at with the demands of my schedule, I tend to default more frequently to prioritizing the training than prioritizing the social time, because I have other vehicles for social activity now.
I want to grab that. Oh, just for a second. Because so often as coaches, we see athletes who are working towards goals conform to what their friends are doing who are not working towards any goals or specific goals. And it, as a coach, I'm just wondering, where's the disconnection there? Why are we choosing the 25 miler that doesn't fit our plan to appease a friend who's hiking 25 miles or whatever it is? And there's no direction in that 25 miles. It doesn't fit a purpose. Why is the athlete? This is something that I see all the time. And I think, Zoe, you're such a great example for this. You know, you can be in Chamonix and you can be like, hey, whatever you're doing, like, I'm sticking to my plan, because, you know, I know that running socially gives me this boost. It helps perpetuate the process. But when I step outside of what my goals are, that doesn't help perpetuate the process for me. That actually has negative side effects. And I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't think there's an answer, but I wonder why athletes who have very specific goals bend their training for people who do not actually have a goal they're working towards.
I know that, like, before I've gotten more serious in the past, I've been more likely to kowtow to what my friends want as like a way of protecting myself from getting vulnerable about owning up to having goals, or being afraid of being perceived as like the overbearing age grouper who's obsessed with their training but isn't that good. Like, there have been time or just wanting to be like the cool girl who's down for anything. I think there's lots of societal pressures and reasons that will, you know, do what our friends are doing, even if it's not exactly what we'd prefer to be doing, what we know is in our best interest. And I think a lot of times it's because we have a need that's not being met. Maybe socially we need some form of connection and we feel constrained in terms of how we can access that, or we're just like, it's hard to own goals.
I think that just because it's hard to own a goal isn't a valid excuse for not stepping up.
Sure, I'm just saying, but I think that there are, like, you know, it's not just because people willfully self-sabotage, you know, like, people aren't stupid. I think that, you know, our brains work the way that they do for reasons.
Yeah, and I think that you definitely highlighted a lot of those things, and I, you know, that's super, super important. I want my athletes to feel confident advocating for their training. The flexibility is great, and we talked about it a lot, but some people are overly flexible and then they really get off track. Sarah, you lead a group of runners in Boulder. You do some coaching with the group. What are some of the important things that you see in that for athletes?
Yeah, definitely that accountability and just that social connection. Like, when I first started coaching, I assumed that people were really serious about their times, because that's sort of how things were presented to me as a coach. And so I was really like, okay, guys, like, these are our target times. We got to hit this. And very early on, somebody was like, we're not here to get better at running. Like, we're here to hang out with our friends on Thursday nights. Like, and that really helped me reframe how I coach them and what they're, you know, what they're getting out of it. And it's really, it's like they want, you know, it keeps them running on a Thursday for an hour when, like, doing that on your own, that's kind of hard to motivate for, you know? And then they do, it's just an hour of connecting, you know, it's always conversational pace. And so it's like good talking time and lots of opportunity to, like talk about running things, which, like, you know, if you're in the office and you want to talk about running things, that's annoying to a lot of people. Nobody wants to talk about you running. Nobody cares. So to have a group that will tolerate and encourage and like actually be interested in what you're doing, your training and all of that. So, and they, I mean, honestly, Revolution Running, like these folks are paying money to have a group run multiple times a week because that social connection is so much, you know, it brings so much to their life. So yeah. And I do that on Thursdays, and then, so running 5 days a week, I would say probably 4 days I run with other people, and at least for part of that. And so I do a group run style on Thursdays, and then I do like individual or like with maybe one friend or two or three friends who after years I figured out who's like on the same page with me or who I can coordinate well with and those sorts of things. And then so yeah, I think there's different people for different days of the week and different runs and different outcomes. So, you know, if it's a recovery run, I can run with a bigger group on a Thursday. And if it's a workout, I'm going to be kind of selective about who I'm running with.
Yeah, that's great. And I love the kind of important aspects of that, that you really highlighted, and something that I'm definitely hearing is like accountability. I'm hearing motivation. I didn't realize, Sarah, that you ran with other people so often. I think that's really fantastic. Let's chat a little bit about just how to like best prioritize your own training in the context of group runs. Kristen, maybe do you want to start this section off?
Yeah, so I think for me with group runs, I have a pretty like set schedule. Like I know the structure of my training throughout the week, right? So like Tuesdays are super easy. Wednesdays are usually some sort of speed work. So if there's a group run on Tuesday, I don't usually go, honestly. I'll do a group run as a double, but I won't do it in place of a run or a speed work. And a lot of times I see athletes who go to group runs will likely either skip their speed work or skip strides and say like, oh, hey, sorry, was that a group run? Didn't do my strides. And that's hard because strides are so important for like running economy and long-term progression. And so when you just skip strides because you either don't want someone else to see you do them, or I don't know, I think there's a lot of excuses that can come up when you're running with other people to not do things or to not do your training. But I think that it's really important to advocate for your training. And more likely than not, there's really like 9 out of 10 people at said group run who would love to do strides with you. They just don't know how to do that. And so I think if they see you doing it, they'll be inspired and motivated and curious. And then you can kind of like talk to them about what you know about training. So I think it's a really cool opportunity to educate and inspire at the same time. But I don't do group runs on Tuesdays. I will usually do a group run like on my, you know, Wednesday double in the evening or Thursday double, but it's kind of where I land.
Yeah. I wanted to specifically shout out Microcosm athlete Kyle Jones, who runs the group run here in Carbondale. He's done a really awesome job kind of slowing the group down and making it more accessible. I used to feel like stressed out about going to the Carbondale group run because it was so fast and was not productive for my training. And now it's like a much more community oriented, just like chill event that I really look forward to. And I think that that's super, super awesome. And it just like takes a lot of time to, and a lot of vulnerability and bravery to build that type of culture. But I really love that. And I wanted to also point out last time we had a big Microcosm meetup in Boulder, we had like 8 of us all doing hill strides at the end of the run together because it was a Sunday. And I thought that was really cool and special and a fun example of how like we would all like try to, you know, like stride up together and then recovery run down. There are ways you can integrate other people into that aspect of your training, but it's, you know, like at the most, you're doing like 2-3 minutes of hill strides at the end of a run. Like you can definitely, you know, you can fit that in at the end of a group run or in the middle and catch up with people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you guys are both right. Like a lot of, I know strides, especially hill strides, can be a little nagging. And I've definitely been there in my own training where it's like, oh, I'm really going to stop this run to like hammer this hill. And it's like only 2 minutes of work, but it's still kind of like messes with the flow and the dynamic. And I can only imagine that like on a group run, that becomes even more challenging. But something that I like to challenge my athletes to do is to recruit their friends to do the hill work with them. You know, like some of my fastest, like best hill workouts have been like when I'm running with other people, like Kylie's husband. And so like running with other people and training with other people can really help bring out a higher level of your athletic ability. And so there are some like really great benefits. And this is why you see, you know, the best like road marathoners and 10K athletes and half marathon runners, like they're often all training together. Like their training is just group runs all the time. And that perpetuates this process of continual growth as people push each other. And I'm not like advocating that you should be like racing your friends out there, but when you do recruit your buddies to do the work with you, you can bring out a higher level in your training. And I think that that is really, really cool and beneficial. And you get to prioritize your work too. But again, like it can be really tough. Like I know that for me, we started going to the independence group runs a couple of years ago, and I completely stopped because I didn't like the atmosphere, the mentality. It was like too fast, people showing off.
A lot of shirtless dudes.
Too many shirtless guys, like not my scene, a little too alpha for me.
And I'm an alpha, and I was kind of like, boy.
I just didn't enjoy it. And so like kind of like finding your group is really important. Like for me, the way that I prioritize my training out there is I go as easy as possible. And I tend to run at the back of the pack, even if I'm feeling great. That's where I know I'm going to be 100% conversational. That's where I know that the run is going to contribute to aerobic, building my aerobic base. And it's not going to have negative impacts on the training that I do later in the week, like too many impact forces and I get sore, or too much speed and I strain something, or, you know, I just overdo it and maybe like overtrain a little bit. And so I think that takes, yeah, everybody's capable of advocating for their own training. It takes practice and building that confidence over time.
And like, I would say everything's relative. I don't identify. I mean, you know, if I had a friend who said they wanted to run slower than I was planning on running, I would do that because it is always good, like to a point. Like if they wanted to walk run, I might be like, you know, that's not a great fit for me right now. But like, if someone wanted to run slower than I was planning on running, I would be amped to do that with them. Yeah. Like that would be great for me. Like if that was communicated to me, I would be stoked and I would want to run with that person, because it's like always beneficial for me to continue to slow down, run with a friend. And I think that, you know, that should just be permission for all of us to own what speed is best for our body and our training on a given day.
Absolutely. And it's like that chit chatty pace is what we should be up to, like 40 to 50% of our easy days. They should be zone one, really low heart rate, super, super easy group runs. Honestly, like I think we're going to these group runs so we can chat and be social. And so if we're running too fast and we can't chat and be social, we're not only undermining our training, we're probably undermining the purpose of being at the group run to begin with. And so, you know, trying to sync in with the athletes at the group run that are kind of going at your effort level, for me, that tends to be way, way in the back. And just like trying to really own that and remember to connect that to my training. And when I'm connecting the things that I'm doing, my actions to my training, I feel more confident in what I'm doing and less likely to want to run at the front of the group really fast. You know, Zoe kind of wrote a good note here. It just doesn't benefit you to speed up on your easy days. And so like reminding you guys, like we have this big zone two that encompasses like the lowest of low heart rates all the way up to aerobic threshold. And that's like, I don't know, 70% of your entire capacity as an athlete. It's like, it's huge. It's huge. And 40 to 50% of our training should be in the lower end of that 70%. So freaking easy. That's how you build aerobic base. That's how you limit
the chance of injury. While minimizing stress responses and
impact forces. 100%. And so I think for athletes, you know, prioritizing your own training, it's all about communicating those kind of needs. Like, hey, we're out here to go easy. Easy. You don't necessarily need to explain to them the training methodology, but just being like, and just knowing that easy facilitates growth over time. Running too hard does not facilitate that growth. And making sure that everybody's on the same page. Some cues that I like to look for, what we often use in the microcosm group meetups, is like no drop. We might have a variety of different paces out there, and the group kind of will naturally just split up a little bit. And that's fine. But in general, we have people running at the same effort levels that are conversational the entire time. I'm curious if...
I'd like to jump in real quick. Drew. Yeah, just it's important too, just because you have like very specific type of training that you do, don't be afraid to go to group runs. It's just like TJ saying, like maybe show up a few minutes early and socialize and talk to people and be like, hey, like, what's the plan today? Like, don't just show up to a group run, sit in the corner by yourself quietly. And then when the group run starts, you just take off and do whatever, or just fall out the back. Like show up early, meet people, communicate kind of what you're doing. And then understand that I don't know that I've been to a group run where someone's been like, hey, my coach has me doing some strides at the end of this, or hey, like my coach says that they want me to do like 6x40-second hill repeats sometime in the middle of this. Oftentimes, most runners don't have coaches. And so like you having that leadership and that guidance, other people like, maybe I should be doing this too. And I think it's really easy to recruit people to do your training as opposed to you having to like relent and give up your structure to do what everyone else is doing. If that makes sense. Like, so communicating obviously is a big part of that.
Absolutely. I think that's like the cornerstone of almost everything that we do in life. It's all about that clear communication and just owning, you know, having the courage to own what you're doing. I think a lot of us like don't really realize, like, at least when I went to Groupon last night, I was like, wow, here are a lot of runners who have, you know, they're running easy and it's super awesome, but they have no overarching structure to what they're doing. They're doing super random stuff all the time. You know, some things that I heard were just wild at the group run last night that I would like never in my wildest like prescribe to myself or athlete.
There was a moment where someone was like, I might jump into 100 in a couple weeks, which is a wild, which is a level of chaos I could never.
Yeah.
I could never.
I would just say you are probably the most informed of your friends because you're the one that's getting coaching guidance. And so spreading kind of that knowledge around can be really helpful. I think you can inspire a lot of people to train in a wiser way, which benefits everybody over the long term and can probably add some, you know, productive nature to your group runs. Again, like, and I've noticed this like too, when in small groups, like when I run with Zoe in particular, we might be doing like a run and then we'll have to do, you know, strides or hills at some point, and just being like, okay, well now is the time where I'm going to do, you know, my strides or my hills or whatever. And just communicating that and being like, it's okay that this kind of like might get in the way of the flow of our conversation or the way that this running's going, but like just knowing that you can just bring it back after. Like Kristen said, Like if you skip your strides or your hills consistently, like you're missing out on such an important part of your training. Like we don't spend a lot of time at the high end, like VO2 max area of training. But if we let that go, we get slower over time. So you really need to advocate for that and just have that confidence. All right, well, let's, oh, wow. I love this part. So what are some things that we should avoid on group runs? What, Kylie, you haven't spoken yet. You had some great notes on some things to avoid. You want to chime in here?
We covered some of them, but making sure, you know, that your pace is what you should be doing for that day. And I think, you know, it seems like we're kind of referencing like shorter group runs, but there are a lot of people that live in areas where there's like longer trail runs, et cetera. And I think, you know, on those long run days too, just making sure that like you aren't maybe like putting yourself in a position where it's like not beneficial to your training, like we were saying earlier. So avoiding that, avoiding like posturing and like trying to like compete with people. Cause I think, you know, I've been a part of a number of groups. Like that is literally how I met people when I moved to Colorado. And I used to train with a really high level marathon group in Boulder. And it was really hard to kind of keep that pace where it needed to be on certain days. And it can really lead to like overtraining or messing up your training, et cetera, if you're going too hard all the time. So I think it's kind of it's good to evaluate like where, how many times a week am I like running in a group? When am I thinking of doing this? And I actually have a couple of athletes that like to do a regular group run, and they've actually asked me like, can I or should I do this group run? And I can, you know, give advice and like build that into their training actually. And then I can think about, you know, when would be best for like strides, et cetera. Like if you communicate with your coach, they might be willing to kind of help guide you with like your group run type stuff as well. And then something I was going to add, which you guys kind of touched on, but like thinking about, you know, if you are at these larger group runs, maybe you can meet people that are like kind of have similar goals to you, and maybe you can do like one-on-one, like smaller groups, like, you know, you were talking about running with Zoe or whatever. But thinking about maybe like a smaller group run with a friend type approach too, so that you don't maybe feel like overwhelmed by the people at large groups. So I don't know if that completely answers the question, but just trying to give like a little bit of insight on my thoughts and approaches to group runs. And then also like with my athletes, how, you know, usually they'll tell me if they're going to group runs ahead of time.
Yeah. And again, like we can just go right back to the importance of communication on this stuff. Like if we're randomly jumping into group runs, we're not thinking about the underlying purpose of our training, and we're letting that kind of go out the window. You know, we might be losing out on important adaptations over time. And so, you know, whenever I have an athlete who's like, I have like this group run that I'm interested in like checking out, and I'm, you know, maybe I just moved to this area and I don't know a lot of runners, or, you know, maybe I'm looking to just to like mix things up. I'll often go out of my way as a coach to facilitate getting that group run on the plan in a way that doesn't impact the training in the architecture of the training, but does help facilitate getting out there because of the importance of running with other people. Building that community, that local community, is super, super important. But if it does become your, and you mentioned this, Kylie, in your comments here in our notes, but if it becomes your main training avenue, you know, that can be a real problem. You know, something that I've seen in this you know, happens quite often, more often than you'd think, is like a lot of these groups, and especially the bigger running groups, they do speed sessions. They do speed work. They meet up on the track, you know, a specific day of the week. And what I've seen is because it's like those group runs are really drop-in. And so there's no actual structure week by week to how those speed work sessions go. And so it does not help with the architecture of your plan.
Or it helps less. Like some speed work is better than none speed work, but the best speed work is really intentionally constructed speed work.
Correct. And so when we're doing things randomly, it's very hard to consistently provoke adaptation and growth, because good training builds off of the work that you've done before. It not only helps to maintain adaptations that you've already made, but it helps to then provoke new adaptation. And so, you know, something that a real pitfall that I see is athletes who, you know, start to default to these like group speed sessions, or come into working with Microcosm, a new athlete, and they're really hung up on not wanting to miss there. And I see this particularly like with marathon and half marathon runners, is like not wanting to miss their local speed session. But it's like, okay, you have hired a coach because I can give you very specific speed work that you can build off of over the long term to provoke a lot of growth and adaptation. And so when we're doing these things randomly, they have no purpose, and good training has a purpose.
The same way about group exercise classes. Like, unless you are attending a group exercise class to help with running strength, it's likely not going to be very productive and can a lot of times be counterproductive.
Yeah. You know, Kristen kind of mentioned this earlier. She was talking about, you know, how do you really set your week up for success? Oh, well, there's these group runs on Tuesdays, but I kind of tend to skip those because I really want to make sure that I'm set up well for my session on Wednesday, which is when I do my speed work. And so we really just want to make sure that, like, if we are doing speed work with our friends in a group setting, we're adhering to our, you know, your specific prescribed plan, and then getting your friends on board to do that with you. If you do it the other way around, again, you're going to miss out on those adaptations and you could inhibit long-term growth. Yeah. Gosh, any other coaches? Sarah, you know, I'm going to default to you a little bit because you lead groups. What's something that you kind of do? Do you guys do speed sessions together? And if so, do you try to structure them week to week to build off of each other? What's your approach there?
So I guide the workouts, but somebody else prescribes the workouts. There's like a head coach who writes the workouts, and he does, it's a whole build, you know, it's very intentional. Thursdays, which are the days that I coach, are like a little bit less intense than other days in the week. I do things my way. So I'm all about, perceived efforts. I always am just telling them, like, this should be a little bit harder than what you just did. You should be able to do this for an hour. You know, you should be able to do this for 4 hours. I really am not like harping people on times. And we get really spread out though, right? Because I coach the 10 to 11 minute pace group. Well, that's a huge range. So if all of a sudden we're doing these, you know, a 45 second pickup, well, that's going to really spread people out. So every time we recover, we circle back and loop get everybody back together at the start of each interval to like really try to be cohesive. And, you know, we're running this as a group, and then we come together for the warm up and the cool down, and just try to make it as much of a group thing as possible, but also let everybody go their own pace during the speed portion. One thing that I wanted to say that I see, you, Kylie, was mentioning the long runs. What I see happen a lot is nutrition. People will be like, well, other people aren't eating, so I'm not going to eat. And they won't pay attention to their own nutrition stuff. They don't want to slow everybody down. They don't want to make people have to wait for them, or they think maybe I don't need to eat as much because nobody else is eating. So I definitely think pay attention to the way that you're you know, your fueling should not be impacted by the people that you're running with and should be a top priority for you, you know, everything.
That's something I definitely used to experience when I would really run with other women. I would just be like, man, I feel like I'm eating way more. And I used to feel very self-conscious about it, but now I've embraced, or I've even had people say things that were like quasi like triggering adjacent for ED history kind of stuff. Like I ran with a gal who was like, I don't eat processed food when I run. And I was like, all right, good luck with that. Cause I'm about to eat upwards of 600 calories worth of processed food and love every second of it. But like trying to move into being a snack influencer and making sure that like I'm eating the stuff that works for me on the time scale that works for me. I'm a huge advocate of setting an alarm on your watch so that it just becomes second nature and you're practicing that race day fueling. And I like to think that I've hopefully inspired particularly some like other women to just fuel their long runs at minimum adequately and hopefully in a way that like actually prioritizes long-term growth. And yeah, but that's definitely been a trap I've fallen into, and I'm really trying to be like a corrective to in my world and like not be someone who brags about who inadvertently brags about under fueling or represents it as like a moral good or anything positive, because it's not. And I think that that's like, you know, we are the culture and we have the power to change that.
Oh my gosh. I'll just give a shout out to the ladies that I've been coaching this summer who
are snack influencers,
consistently run with other people and are just crushing their fueling.
We love to see
and seeing the positive impact of that on not only the outcomes of those long runs, but the recovery process after too. So that's huge. And I know that can be really challenging. And I'm so glad that you guys mentioned that. Sarah, I just wanna to go back to the question that kind of provoked this topic for the week. And something that I noticed in kind of your description of your workout days with your group, which I thought is really cool, is bringing everybody back together during those recovery periods, during the warm up and cool down to kind of create that group cohesion. I really like that. I think that that's the perfect marriage of respecting that we all have our individual paces that are unique to us and where and our physiology and where we're at in the training process, but then also kind of like brings in this group dynamic and community aspect that I think can help raise the level of everybody out there. You know, with this particular runner who had the question about, yeah, like motivating in a scenario where as they get better, everybody else gets better too, and that gap still exists. And the thing that I'm kind of reading into this is it's a very much a comparison game for this athlete. And that can be really, really hard. And that's one of the, I think for at least myself, the toughest thing about group runs is there are so many different athletes that show up at these runs, and it's very hard to not compare yourself to everybody out there. And that comparison can really affect your perception of how you're doing. And that can have, yeah, negative impacts on your training. What kind of, just maybe one or two tips that could help this runner and could help us all generally when it comes to comparison at group runs?
Oh man. Well, first, like it's totally normal. and you know, I think what I like about the question, right, as I'm getting faster, the rest of the group's getting faster. And right there, we're noticing I'm getting faster and like full stop, like there's the progress, right? And so it's not that the gap's getting bigger, the gap's persisting, but they're getting faster, you're getting faster, right? So you're seeing that you guys are building each other up right there. So I think focusing on your own progress, like really just like highlighting and drawing attention to that piece, like I'm getting faster, right? Like, so yeah, focusing on yourself and comparing, looking back and seeing the progress that you've made, that would be the first thing. And then like, I think communicating and talking with, like you said, TJ, like the communication is a big part of this. So if this person's going out every week and wanting to like because they like the social piece and then like very quickly aren't able to be socializing, you know, then thinking about talking to the other people on in the group or finding a group where people are there for the same reasons, like looking at the why behind the group, making sure that the group's a good fit. And just, yeah, talking about it out loud, like not having the shame, like a lot of times with comparison and feeling bad about ourselves, there's a lot of shame with it and shame exists in silence. And so when you talk to other people, say your worries out loud, say the things you're thinking out loud, then you find connection and community and it is less of an impact.
Absolutely. And I understand that maybe as somebody who feels like they're slower than many of the runners at the group, it can be hard to just be like, hey, would you guys mind like slowing down? Like, I'd love to chat with you. And like the fact of the matter is you can't run if you're that athlete who's a little bit faster and somebody who, you know, their easy pace maybe is slower, asks you to slow down. You know, I think the wrong response is like, that's not my easy pace, because your easy pace can always be slower. And so if you're one of those athletes out there who goes to group runs and consistently runs in the front of the pack, I challenge you to check yourself and to check your training, because you can run slower. At the same time, you know, that can really inspire athletes who are, you know, maybe a little bit at a different stage of the process than you. Being kind of a leader in that sense where you do run at the back of the pack and you do own your training instead of being that person out front, I think that can say a lot about who you are. Again, you know, Sarah, you bring up some, I think some really great points. It's not easy, but what's the positive there, right? Like that progress that athlete is making, and that's huge. Comparison traps exist everywhere in sport. They, you know, if you're struggling with it, my advice would try to uncover some of the root causes of that. What are those specific things that are maybe bothering you? And either, yeah, lean into those things or maybe just try to remove those things too, depending on how you're feeling.
Get curious, eliminate triggers where you can.
Yeah, absolutely. So something that I like to do with my athletes is use group runs as an optional easy double throughout the week. And I love this because it ensures that we're not doing a workout during the double, which means that athlete is most likely getting their workouts done on their own time and adhering to the plan and the architecture of the plan, which is great. But it kind of, it's a great also way to add on some extra volume that isn't super stressful. We're running easy out there. It's chit-chatty. It's conversational. And it doesn't put like this extra pressure on making any one run more stressful than it needs to. Like doubles are this great, safe way to add volume to any, almost any athlete's training plan, like intermediate and above. I'm curious, like we did our group run. It was our double yesterday. If any of the coaches, just are doing this with their athletes and seeing some benefit, we just go around the table real quick. Kristen, any of your athletes doing group runs as doubles and liking that format?
Yeah, I have a couple athletes who do their doubles as long, or sorry, not as long runs. They do group runs as doubles. Words are very hard. I need more coffee. And they really like it. I think it's a good litmus test for them to kind of like trust themselves and like own the autonomy that comes with training and being able to say, hey, I'm going to slow down. And hey, this is my pace, and just communicate that really clearly. So that's been really fun to kind of like watch these athletes like build that confidence and build that sense of like self in training and say like, this is what I'm doing. This is what my expectations are. Just being able to communicate really well.
Awesome. Yeah. Kylie, are you doing that with any of your athletes?
Yeah, I have one or two that are doing it. And I actually also have someone that is cross training a bit, cycling. So they go to some cycling group rides in addition to like maybe a few other cross training things we might be doing. So like it'll be like their second little thing that they do for the day. So yeah, but I, again, that communication piece, like they communicate that with me ahead of time so then I can build it into the training, because, you know, I just feel like it's better if we know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't do unprescribed doubles. if you're doing extra stuff out there, you should definitely be letting your coach know. Because again, like I think as we've explained, like we are proponents of group runs. We feel like they can really help perpetuate the process. And so we're going to go out of our way to, yeah, help make that happen for you guys to a certain extent, you know, when you want to maybe, I don't know, like not do your strides, or when you are thinking about doing like group track workouts instead of your own prescribed work, you might get some, yeah, pushback from us. But for the most
part, I've also seen athletes who will do some like trail group runs where the pace that I see indicates that they're mostly hiking, and I have hesitancies about that.
Mm. As a double or just as a long
run? I don't have a lot of athletes that do doubles just because of the level and volume that the majority of my team's at.
Mm-hmm.
But I just have, you know, I think that, you know, every once in a while is one thing, but if you're fully just replacing one run a week with what amounts to a group hike, that is less productive. It's not unproductive, it's less productive.
Yeah, at a certain extent, if especially if you are a newer runner, you've got to just start running.
For me, if I just replaced one run a week with a hike, that's gonna,
well, that was
not gonna be good.
Yeah, that would really impact your training as well. Absolutely. But I think athletes of your level would probably not ever decide to do that.
Yeah.
No hypothetical for you there.
Yeah.
Well, great. Let's get into this last question. What is the best way to find a group near you? Drew, I'm going to turn it over to you. You had some great ideas.
Yeah. So this is a really interesting question, because I know that everyone doesn't live in a really accessible, like place with lots of opportunity to find stuff. But some ways that I've always recommended athletes go out and try to find groups is if you've got like a local, like it could be running store or maybe just like store that sells running gear. Typically an associate or someone there can help kind of point you to the right direction or connect you with someone. Kind of network with those kinds of retail associates is always good. I've found it really helpful to also, like, it seems like all of us live in a place that has a race, right? At least one race or road race, where if you were to go and volunteer, I think that that's a really great way, to network and whatnot. And you're giving back to your community through volunteerism, which is awesome. I found here in Northwest Arkansas, we've got really awesome, like parks and recreation, like departments, both cities of like Bentonville and Fayetteville just go above and beyond to cultivate running, which is super awesome. And sometimes just reaching out to like your community center or whatever it is, be like, hey, like I'm new in town or I'm trying to find group runs. Do you have resources for me? I think you'd be surprised how many people actually do have options or resources, or at least know someone for you to reach out to, that can be super helpful. It's really popular here too. Breweries, actually. It seems like all of us runners love to drink a cold beer after a run every now and then. So a lot of like local breweries, another really great place to, it's going to seem so random, but trust me, like it works. It's like, hey, I need a group. And they'd be like, oh, dude, I got you. And then hook you up that way too is really cool. And then when all else fails, using social media, I think what it was designed to originally do is to connect people, maybe Instagram or Facebook or something like that. Looking up like local running groups might be a really awesome way. Just to wrap up my ideas. I'm sure there are many others as well. I'm notorious for starting my own run group. like, be like, hey, friends, let's all meet. Even if it's like 1 or 2 days a week, like, these are the days we're meeting. This is the time we're meeting. This is the place we're meeting. Let's get together. Let's just do our easy run together and make it work. Sometimes that's a really great way to find a running group, is to create your own.
Man, I've always wanted to go to your running group, Drew, but I can't get up that early in the morning. Even with my early bedtimes, it's just you're on another level.
6 a.m. is not that. You'll have a kid maybe one day if that's the path you choose, and then you will have no more sleeping in at all. And then, you know, you'll have to wake up at 4:30 to go get that run in.
Oh, God. You parents are superheroes. Not sure I can do it. Well, those are just such some, yeah, great ideas. I think the hub for all this is the local running store. I know in Carbondale, that's where our group run takes off from and finishes. And we have like a really cool little community going there. And after being at it last night, I'm kind of stoked to go back in the coming weeks, if I can handle the late that time. But I know also, you know, in Northwest Arkansas, it's the same. In Boulder and Denver, which some running stores that I frequent, they often have a bulletin in there, and they talk and they have listed when their group meets. And I think that is probably for everybody the first point to look for your group is at that local running store. Yeah. Well, I don't know if we've got anything else.
Group runs. Use them when they're helpful. Stop using them when they're unhelpful.
So pragmatic. Well, thanks, guys. Great job, coaches. I know this topic is a little nuanced, but we haven't done a full call on this, and I really think that we covered everything. If something came to mind for a listener who's going to listen to this on the podcast, or one of you guys who's here live and you've got a follow-up question, we're going to do a rapid fire Friday question session next week. So we could include a little follow-up there. Just saying. So reach out if you've got a question. Enjoy your weekend, guys. Take care.